Let's get going. All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Tech Ridge Public Infrastructure District. Today is May 21st. It is 9:40 a.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow, Jensen, and Reese. For our call to order, if everyone on the call could state your name for the recording and record, we'd appreciate it. We'll start with the board. Isaac, your chair, would you like to start?
Yes, Isaac Barlow.
David Nilsson.
Brad Buchanan.
Shelby Clymer with CLA's district accountant.
This is Matt Entz with Snow, Jensen, and Reese District Council.
Case Musa, the Connection Group district engineer.
Jason Burningham, LRB Public Finance Advisors, Financial Advisor to Tech Ridge PID.
Adam Daly with Gilmore Bell, Bond Counsel to the District.
All right, that's everyone I show on the call. We do have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, do we have any members of the public?
No.
Okay. So first up, board, is we have our board meeting minutes from our May 12th meeting. Have you guys had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate? Do I need to put them up for you? Hey, I see Brad saying he's okay with it.
It's okay with me.
Okay. Can I get a motion to approve those then?
I make a motion to approve the board meeting minutes from the meeting held on May 12th.
Thanks, Dave.
I'll second.
Thanks, Brad. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right. That's unanimous. All right. I'm going to quit sharing. Shelby, do you want to share or do you want me to put it up?
I can share.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you. All right, board. So in front of you today is the draft tentative budget for 2025. So I'll kind of walk through this, go back to the first page, just our cover page. We have a summary. This pulls all of the funds of the district together. So I'll be focusing on just the individual fund pages. So we'll start with the general fund. This is where the district will account for really all administrative costs of the district. So for 2025, we put in a budget of about $32,500, anticipating about half or a little bit over half of a year's activity. Once those bonds are issued, that's when those costs will really start to kick in. So that's split between accounting, so the ongoing work that CLA will be doing for the district, legal, which includes Matt and Michael and their team for the legal and administrative work. And then also put in a placeholder for insurance and then miscellaneous or contingency. First year cost.
I'm sorry, does the accounting include audit?
Not in this first year, Dave. That audit will kick in 2026 for 2025 year end. So we won't have costs associated with that until next year.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. First year costs are anticipated to be funded through developer advances. So we have that here in a revenue to cover those costs. Any questions, comments on this page? Okay. Next page is the debt service fund. So this page and the capital projects fund pages are really based on the current financing plan. Of course, as you know, there can be shifts to this, so we'll plan to update these numbers once we have the final numbers after pricing. So for the debt service fund, first I would point out we have a transfer in from other funds of about $11.1 million. That represents the amount that would be funded for the district's reserve fund and then capitalized interest fund associated with the anticipated 2025 bonds. And then as of now, there's an anticipated bond interest payment that would be due on December 1st. So that's the $1.3 million. And then we also put in $40,000 for a rough estimate of interest income. You know, we would be looking to the district to invest the funds once those bonds are issued. So I think we estimate about 3.5%, which is pretty conservative at this point. And then last page is the capital projects fund. So here's where we see the bond issuance proceeds. Again, interest income, For expenditures, we estimated about $27.2 million for this draft for capital outlay. So that is, you know, the roughly $17 million that we're looking for the reimbursement at issuance. And then we put in $10 million through the remainder of the year. That might be high. So if you guys have a better estimate of that, we're happy to update for this final. And just keep in mind, we can always amend this budget if we need to. And if we budget too high and don't spend that, that'll just kind of roll to the next year. Then we also have the bond issuance costs, so that would cover the underwriter's discount and then the costs for all the other consultants involved in the transaction, and then that $11.1 million transfer to the debt service fund. Any questions there? Okay. Well, happy to take any questions. If you have any after this, feel free to email me. I believe today we'd be looking to the board to adopt this as the tentative budget, and then we'll set a public hearing date closer to issuance. And again, we'll have those updated numbers at that point.
Hey, board, if there's no questions, could I get a motion then to approve the tentative budget as presented?
So moved.
Thanks, Isaac.
I second it.
All those in favor say aye.
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 That's unanimous. So as a normal course of action, like when we get to November and December, we would set the public hearing date. So, but obviously we don't know that right now. So we'll send out once it funds and closes, then we'll send out some meeting options to have that public hearing. So just so you guys know. All right, next up is the resolution regarding the TIF and the improvement. Adam, let me put it up for you. All right, Adam.
Yeah, so when the bond resolution was initially authorized by the board back in March, we were only anticipating pledge revenues being special assessments for these bonds. Since then, we've decided to add the TIF revenues being pledged by the St. George Neighborhood Redevelopment Agency. So this resolution would authorizes the pledging of those TIF revenues by the board to these bonds. Any questions about that? That's essentially all it does.
There was a in here, there's a reference.
I think there's I think is that the prior version, Michael? There might have been a updated version that
for section three.
Oh yeah, and I can share it. I have the most recently. Are you talking about that?
The
section three that says the board hereby pledges the TIF revenues.
I think here. The version that's up is the previous one before we had the change.
I took it down, Adam. Thank you.
Can you all see that?
Yeah, it's off a little bit. Can you take out that navigation on the left? There you go. Perfect.
Yeah. So here's that section three that was added after the initial draft was circulated. The board hereby pledges the TIF revenues as improvement revenues to the payment of the Series 2025 bonds in accordance with the terms of the indenture, as previously defined in Resolution 2025-07.
So my question is, it refers to them as improvement revenues, but it's not a capitalized term.
Yep.
Is that just a standard term? It's just unfamiliar to me. That it's referred to as improvement revenue.
That's a good question. So it's a reference to the Assessment Area Act, actually, which states that any bonds to which special assessment revenues or quote unquote improvement revenues are pledged are assessment bonds for purposes of the act. So in this case, those are revenues being pledged to finance improvements.
So the term improvement revenues, is that a reference to TIF revenues? TIF revenues are a type of improvement revenues?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, and then when they're pledged, are they pledged in such a way that once those revenues are received by the district, then they can be applied to either interest or principal? Is that
That's correct.
choice available? Okay.
Yeah, and the specifics of the actual financing
Or in the indenture.
will be in the indenture, exactly. Yep.
Okay.
And so, and some of that, from my understanding, is still being worked out with the underwriter and exactly how the financing plan is going to be worked out, but.
Yeah, I think Dave, there's, and I noted this in the updated circulation of the plum, a question of how they were defining in the plum, and I think the same is in the indenture of assessment revenues. So I think that's a broad term, including assessment payments, and also the TIF revenues. To me, that was a little unclear of what's the distinction between assessment revenues and assessment payments? But I think that's the same concept of improvement revenues is this idea of what's all collectively then pledged to repay the improvements that are being constructed and put in. So I think the indenture has it maybe a little different. At least what I could see in the plum, it referred to assessment revenues, which included both the assessment payments and the TIF revenues collectively as assessment revenues.
Yeah, it's a little bit confusing because it's a payment from one perspective and a revenue from another perspective, and then it gets
Yeah.
crossed with different forms of revenue. Okay.
Any other questions?
The only question I had is since we adopted that previous bond resolution that included the special assessment, obviously that was the contemplated then, and then we've run all of our contestability periods, et cetera. This doesn't restart the clock, is that correct?
It does not. No,
Okay.
because we're still operating just within the special assessment arena. And in this case, that clock is just specific to the assessment ordinance and designation resolution, not to the bond resolution itself.
Perfect. Thanks.
Okay, board, any other questions? If not, can I get a motion to approve resolution 2025-10?
I'll move to approve resolution 2025-10.
Thanks, Brad.
I'll second it.
Thanks, Dave. All those in favor, say aye.
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 That is unanimous. All right. Hey, Adam, will you forward me that latest version?
Yes, we'll do.
Okay. And then, board, so Isaac and Brad, if you will look in a few minutes as soon as Adam gets it over, I'll send you the share file for you guys to sign the resolution. So if you'll just look for that notification. Okay. Just an FYI, we got the First Amendment to the assessment ordinance and designation resolution. We got that recorded yesterday. So if anyone wants a copy, just let us know and we'll forward it out. So
I
just an
think, Michael,
FYI.
if you could just circulate it again, I think that would
Okay.
be helpful for Underwriters Council that isn't on the call. We'll make sure they get it, but if you could
Okay,
circulate
I'll
it,
just shoot it then to the working group.
that'd be great.
Okay, perfect. Okay, do you guys have anything for us we need to work on, cover, questions? Okay. Isaac, on remember all three of you, but the continuing or sorry, not the CDA, the conflict of interest disclosures. So we need to get those. That's something specifically Underwriters Council asked for. So just remember on that form, just list whatever it asks for. Let me pull it up.
Yeah, that would be helpful. It didn't seem super clear to me as far as I participate in a lot of different businesses, so I wanted to kind of comprehend that a little better.
And so, Michael, you don't have that back from any of us. Is that what you're saying?
I'd have to go back through
Christy
the last
said,
couple of days of emails. I
Christy,
can't remember, to be
Christy
honest.
looked for yours yesterday, Dave, and couldn't find it either because we were looking for kind of a sample.
Let me go through and I might send out an email, Dave. You might have sent it. Well, let me look.
No, I mean, I'm not finding it here either, so I must not have done.
And I'm not seeing Brad's either.
One of the big things that helpful, Michael, for me is explain the difference between one and two. I kind of thought I understood one, but when two seemed like it's talking about something different, then I wasn't, it made me less certain. So if you could kind of explain one, two, three, the differences.
To be honest, there's not a ton of difference. So in one, if you have any ownership, you participate, you're on the board, anything like that, of something that's going to do business with the district or has an affiliation with the district, that's what you need to disclose. So if you own something that's never going to be associated with the district, you don't have to worry about it for this disclosure. So, and
can I
remember,
just, sorry, Michael, can I just add to that?
Yeah, hop in.
Maybe if I can try to simplify it. The reason the form is broken down this way is because this is the categories that are described in the Ethics Act that require disclosure. So I know it's a little confusing the way it's broken down, but we do that intentionally just so that we meet the requirements of the Act. The easiest way to describe the difference between one and two is one is for business entities that may be subject to regulation of the district. So for example, if you have an entity that owns property that is going to be subject to the assessment ordinances adopted by the district, then that you would disclose that entity in number one. The second one is if you have a business entity which anticipates doing business with the district. So in other words, maybe you're providing, administrative services to the district through a business that you have. Now, I know that's unlikely, but that's kind of what two is for a business relationship. So the difference is somewhat subtle. And what I would say is I'm not worried about whether you disclose something under the correct, necessarily in the correct category. The biggest concern is just that we have any potential conflicts of interest disclosed. So if you're not sure whether it goes on one or two, put it on one or the other or both, just so we have it covered. And I don't if that helps. I hope it does, but I know these forms can be confusing.
And then with position and interest, so for example, excavation company, my wife owns a percentage of that. So I would put the excavation company and in under position with business entity. I don't have any, so do I just put spouse as ownership?
Yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Okay. And the danger with these is never over disclosing. You can never disclose too much on these forms. Obviously, we don't want you to disclose something that would be considered a trade secret. But, I'd rather have you disclose something that maybe isn't a true conflict of interest rather than, be too conservative and say, well, I don't think I need to disclose that. And then it turns out later you probably should have. You know what I mean?
Okay. And then we don't necessarily put the percentage of ownership in there. We just disclose it if we have over 10%. Is that, am
yes.
I reading that right? Okay.
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And just while I've got the floor here, Michael, I apologize. I got to jump off and walk into a doctor's appointment here, but I will be available later this morning, Jason, Dave, if we need to coordinate on the closing instructions, we can do that. I'm just going to be unavailable here for maybe an hour or so.
Okay.
Yeah, I just wanted to cover that.
Thank you.
So Yep. So you, all three of you, if we can get those back, that way I can get them over to the Underwriters Council. I've got the oaths. They just need the conflicts now. So, all right. Anything else?
One point of clarification, maybe it's for Brad, but if you have none, you just list none to be clear. Okay.
Men's going to have a big old NA on everything.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, if there's nothing else, what I need then is a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Isaac.
I'll second that.
Brad beat you barely, Dave. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, we're adjourned.